Hello, I'm Camille.
And I'm Gretchen, everybody. Welcome. We are starting our series with this cute little podcast that we do.
That's right. Well, and today we're talking about, what are we going to talk about today? We are talking about nothing prevents you from starting over.
We're talking about nothing.
Well, and isn't, look, right, on it, that's actually great. That was perfect, Gretchen, because nothing, we really want to come to our moment and the future with nothing. Absolutely. That's exactly
right. You're welcome.
Right. Yeah, thank you, thank you. So you want to start out with nothing because if you, look, you can't build a house. You can't start over with anything unless you got to clear the space. You got to clean slate it.
You need to have a foundation that can be built upon, right?
Right.
Yeah, I actually was reading some information that was talking about, this was from Dr. Joe Dispenza saying that if you're creating your future based on your past,
which
you're going nowhere. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so that just said to me, like, okay, what's the story we're telling? What's the narrative in our minds, or what's the narrative in our thoughts of what we're projecting? What are we telling to people? You know, I've always had a hard time making money, or I've always had, oh my gosh, my back is always killing me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it might be.
Men always cheat on me. I never get love. I can never get a good job. I'm always getting,
Things just never go my way.
Yeah.
All of those things are actually producing your reality.
That's right. Well, and don't we hear that all the time, that people just have their story? This is just how it is for me. Yeah. And what if that isn't really how it is for you? What if it doesn't have to be how it is for you? But then when you say something like, as a counselor, I'll say, well, do you want to change that? Oh, no. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's all right.
It's familiar.
That's right.
Also, this talk was talking about you have to, in order to make a change, you have to reprogram your body.
That's right.
It's not just your mind, because your body follows
has cellular
your
memory.
Mind.
The cellular memory, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. You were saying that.
And so oftentimes what happens is we revert back to what feels normal or comfortable, even though it isn't the best feeling. It's like, and I know this is a crude analogy.
Be crude, though.
But
you like
sometimes,
crude.
Well, sometimes when people are abused, they go back to a same type abusive situation because that's what they know.
That's right. That's not very crude, though.
Well,
they were hoping you were going to say something kind of crude.
Oh,
just
no,
saying.
That'd
be me.
Thing,
but Gretchen ain't going to be crude. That'd be me. Just saying.
But you know what I'm saying? And,
I do.
And it doesn't have to be that that serious. It can be just, again, the premise of starting over. Years ago, Camille and I were thinking about how to help people start over in relationships where they're not repeating
the
situations that messed it up to begin with.
Yeah. Well, and then we evolved to, well, heck, we can just start over all the time. But in that conversation back then, what we were creating with people is we were doing a makeover. So we were making them over with wardrobe and hairstyle and everything. Some people were just married forever, and then they got done being married, and they hadn't dated for 15, 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. And that's when you saw, like, the men in their 50s wearing Affliction T-shirts and, you know. So women all of a sudden getting ginormous hair extensions and big boobs and stuff like that.
Like, well, they're going on extreme. And so we thought you got to start over inside before you can really start over out there. But people were rebounding pretty hard. So it was really to kind of prevent the rebound thing. But we have helped a lot of people in understanding that you got to start over inside here. Mm-hmm. And unless you really start over, even with your thoughts and your feelings and your all the old precepts and beliefs that you've got about yourself, like your story from your childhood or your past, unless you identify that and take an inventory of that, you can't change your future. Your future is going to be your past. Sorry. It just is.
Yeah, because you're carrying that vibration with you. You're actually carrying that energy with you. So, you know, when you've been around somebody that's maybe they're just continually talking about, maybe it's a gossip thing, you know, after a while, if that starts bugging you, it's because it's not something that's in your language. Like you're not used to doing that, or you don't like hearing that, or it doesn't land in a way that feels right to you. It doesn't feel that way to them because they don't see that that's become a habit and they are that way.
That's right.
Because most of the time you say, you know, if you said to somebody like, you're just kind of negative. No, I'm not. Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm no. You know, and you're like,
They don't see it.
Yeah,
that's right.
But I think that starting over, you know, just in your minds all the time, catching yourself in your thoughts because – you know, the actions, maybe you're thinking something and the action hasn't happened yet, but you can direct what the action's going to be.
Yeah.
So when people are kind of coming back into the same pattern, the same, you know, narrative. It's like even something as simple as how do you keep your house? Well, I grew up this way, so that's just how it is. But we also know people that are like, maybe they grew up with filth and they're not that way.
Yeah, that's right. Well, because they grew up with filth.
They made that change because they're like, I don't want to be that way, right? And that's the same thing with our attitudes or with how we feel about things, including ourselves.
Yeah.
Even when people, I know you deal with this all the time, Camille, when people have very low self-esteem because that's what they've been told.
Yes, that's what they're used to.
Yeah, but you can change that.
And that does, you know, you've seen me kind of, I mean, jump on people, right? It's like when I'm with people and I hear just some negative process, like the partner saying something, well, yeah, but you know how you are, or just, you know, just really suppressive. Man, I just can't stand that. It's like sometimes with kids or with spouses, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're going to stay that way as long as you make sure you remind them of their sins, right? Like I will make note of that with people.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been around people that
keep us in our smallness, remind us of our past for
they
our
do.
Own good.
They do. They like to go, yeah, but remember when you were six?
Yes. Right.
You know, and you're just like, what?
Yeah.
You know, or I know in situations, some people in my life, like I just avoid conversations with them or I have in the past because they just bring up everything.
They remind you.
You're not necessarily solving
what
the issue is at hand. You're kind of on the defense because you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But that's not communicating.
No.
That's war of words.
Well, and that's somebody that really is keeping you in your smallness. And we all are human, so we've all done human things. But if that's the nature of that relationship, that's probably a suppressive relationship, which is one you want to reconsider having in your future.
Yeah. So talk a little bit, Camille, about some characteristics of a suppressive relationship.
So a suppressive relationship is when you're with someone who has the desire that you fail, or they want you to need them. And so you've got to be in a deficit somehow in your life, whether you don't have enough money, but you need them for money. And they remind you, you know, if I give you this, you know, you kind of owe me. Or they may not say it like that, but you kind of have this feeling of the lecture, or, you know, this took me a long time to earn. And so there's almost a guilt trip attached to it. It isn't freedom. You don't feel free. You feel suppressed. And you kind of do need these people, but they make you feel doubtful about yourself. They doubt your decisions. They might embarrass you with their friends. Or they say things in a maybe not so obvious negative way, but, well, you know how you are. And, you know, are you going to be late again? Or you just feel like you're always seen by that person as you need them, or you can't make it without me. You know, you're not going to be able to do this without me. So they really want you completely dependent upon them, not thinking for yourself, doubting yourself, so that you really don't ever leave them. That's the goal of it. They can't handle abandonment. And these kind of people don't generate their own energy. They have to borrow their energy or their light, I call it, from creators. I'll tell you the thing about creative people, whether they're pretty or they're talented or they're super successful, even have a lot of money, they attract these kind of people. They want them to need them. I'm not sure if you know who Brian Wilson is of the Beach Boys, but he, Dr. Landy, basically was a doctor that helped him kind of survive some addiction things. And then he moved on in and he was going to do music with them. And I mean, he literally held him captive. He was isolated from all of his family and friends. It was incredible. They had to almost do an intervention to get this guy out of Brian Wilson's life. So that is a classic suppressive relationship. Yes, in the beginning it was valuable, and then it turned into a nightmare for Brian Wilson. So there's a you know, Brian Wilson story on. It's a great show.
I think it's on, is it on Netflix?
I think it is now. I think it is. But it's a good, that's a very true story about a suppressive relationship. So, and sometimes these people come in and they are their saviors, they help you, they're healers, and then you can never leave. You know, you feel like you're a hostage, or you owe them. You owe them. Mm-hmm. And they make you kind of feel bad about yourself, so your self-esteem suffers. How do you know you're with someone like that? Look at you before the relationship, and were you self-expressed, and how was money? How was your health? How was your expression? And then look at you after, or as you're with a relationship. Are you muted? Are you, you know, do you not say things, and I got to walk on eggshells, and I can't say, I don't want to upset them or offend them, or I just don't like myself anymore. How is your health since you've been with this person? So you can see, are you improved since this relationship's happened, or are you not improved?
Because like you were saying, Camille, in the beginning, they may come across as, I am your savior. You know what? I'm here to help you. I'm your friend. I'm your lover, or whoever. And so you put your guard down because you feel some freedom and you feel some peace and you feel like,
thank you.
Okay, this is an answer because I feel better, right? But then when it comes to the part where you all of a sudden feel like you owe it, if you're feeling like you're avoiding this person, you're avoiding conversations, not because you don't like them, but because you don't like how it feels. Pay attention to how you feel.
Yeah.
If you feel like at any moment things are going to be thrown back into your face, like, don't forget I bought this, or don't forget that time that I did this, or, you know, I've done so much for you.
You're going to owe me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all, we don't owe anybody anything.
No.
We don't owe anybody our existence. We don't owe anybody anything, mm-mm, you know? And mm-mm, so when you, I have those feelings that somebody says to you, you owe me.
Yeah. Well, you know, need me.
Yeah. Well, not just, I mean, as a mother child or father child, obviously that's a little bit different. But when it gets to the part where it's like,
with the guilt attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think
like Stockholm Syndrome. You know what Stockholm Syndrome is?
Uh-uh.
Stockholm Syndrome is when you fall in love with your captor. It's like, you know, they're feeding me and they're giving me water and I need
justify
them.
Justify.
Yeah. The, so you do love them because you got to have them to survive. So you fall in love with your captor. It's Stockholm Syndrome.
You
but
know,
you're almost a captive of this person. Wow. You become a captive.
That's wicked. That's
that's
sick.
A lot of financial abuse happens in this way. People have money. Even people that have money get these people around them that guilt trip them, or they make them feel bad for them. It's manipulation, 100% manipulation.
Right.
This, yeah.
Right. And, you know, really the power of starting over is recognizing your own value, your own worth, where it isn't a matter of somebody else has to step in and make you feel like you have worth. You recognize it on your own. And then what happens is once you recognize your own value, your own worth, you're not seeking it from other people. You actually, when somebody tries to put those claws in you of control, you rebel. You're like,
rebel.
This doesn't feel good.
I'm a big rebeller. I was suppressed early on in my life. And so I learned the hard way. You know, I'm kind of a can-do girl. I go get them and I make things happen. And it was almost like, oh, I actually had a relationship say to me, an ex-relationship say to me, you know, I just was going to be selfish for the first time in my life when I met you. And I thought, man, look at her go. And I'm going to hitch my wagon to her star. Those were literally, that's a direct quote. Now, we have mended, we're friends, but it was literally like, I'm going to be a star.
I'm
going to
freeload off of you.
Uh-huh. It was definitely like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, and then you have children with these people. And it's like, you know, you can't leave. Right. Or you are on the hook.
Yeah. Because you always have that connection. Yeah. You know, let's talk about bosses, because I sometimes think that, you know, there's wonderful bosses out there, male and female. And there are some bosses that lead you to feel like you owe them. And yet, you know, when you think about it, you're working to help them be successful, or their company be successful, or the company be successful. And so, other than your job of what you do, what you are hired to do, you do not owe them.
No.
You do not owe them. And if that includes somebody gives you a bonus or a present, you still don't owe them. That's not part of your job description.
And you don't. Look, there's a lot of bosses that abuse their power. You know, I'm in a power position. I have power over you. It's kind of like a big brother, big sister, you know. And if you tend to find yourself in these kind of situations with bosses or lovers, relationships, usually you've got a suppressive situation as a child. It kind of isn't the first time you've had this, but that's something we'd have to process. You know, we'd have to come in and talk about it. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Bosses tend to abuse their power, and they can, because I got something you need.
Yeah. Let's not forget who's in charge. Let's not forget who writes your check.
That's right.
You know, that is demeaning and belittling.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if you're an adult and you are working in an environment, you're contributing to the cause of something good, whatever that company is. Yeah. You don't need to be reminded who writes your checks.
Right.
Come on.
And any job, by the way, is your efforts helping someone else's dream come true. I've been an entrepreneur so long, I can't even imagine. I'm probably not employable because I'm just, my whole background, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You know, it's like that little thing. It's like, I hear my little voice, you are not the boss of me. So
it feels like you want me to do what?
Yeah, you're not the boss of me. So, I mean, it's like that little kid voice in your head, but I've been a paralegal. I mean, I've had some pretty good jobs in the past, but I'm really not. I'm probably not employable now. Just probably not. I can't. Just can't do it. You've
been doing your own thing for a long time.
Yeah.
So wrapping up, guys, you can go to our website at startingoverseries.com. If you would like some help in this area, or if you would like some, you know, corporate group training to help people, you know, on your team at work, definitely can do that. And we'd be happy to help you.
That's right. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.